Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. You are streaming whatever platform you're on. Thank you and welcome. Everyone's having a wonderful day. It is a beautiful day here. It's actually sunny today in cool, sunny Southern California. Hey, Frankie, how are you? Hey, Brina. Welcome. Hey, Minnesota. How are you, friend? Just uploading this song to make sure I have the right one uploaded. And I do. Oh, gotta get this definition in here. All right, so let's get started first. Hold on, let me get this. I meant to do this, but I didn't. Okay, so I wanted to give the definition of empathy. And the topic is, I made a mistake. Do killers deserve empathy? Hey, Blunt. Welcome. So this is the definition. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry, y'all. I should have had this ready, but I didn't. All right, I had to cut and paste here. All right, so I made a mistake. Do killers deserve empathy? And the definition of empathy, the Google definition, is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. He has a total lack of empathy for anyone. So not sympathy, but empathy. And I think there is a difference. Me, I say no. Now, you guys heard my views when we were talking about the DUI cases, whatever. I think that if you take someone's life, you have to pay for it. You know, and last night I was up late watching some YouTube videos of people who broke down when they found out that they were getting, you know, a life sentence for murder. And it was always, oh, I didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry. If I can take it back, you know, I would. And I'm, you know, just, I'm watching this and I'm just shaking my head. Isaac, welcome. You know, because I think that murder, for the most part, is a conscious choice. Now, I do believe that people do accidentally kill people. You know, you may get into a fight with someone and they're shoving, pushing and shoving going on, and you shove someone and they fall and they hit their head and they die. You know, Blunt. She says, if I believe you kill in self-defense, you should receive leniency. Yes. I do believe that in domestic violence cases, I do believe that there's that exception. And I'm even going to go so far as to say, and I know you, some of you guys are going to disagree with me on this one. I'm going to go so far as to say, depending upon what it is and depending the level of domestic violence, if it was pre-planned. And I say that because I do believe some people just get to their breaking point where, what other way out do I have? You know, but if you plan to kill someone because you hear about these stories about these teenagers planning to kill the girlfriend's mother or father because they won't let them date, or vice versa. You know, you're dating the person that I want to go to prom with. I'm going to kill you. You know, they sound silly, but there are cases like this. There are cases where people have done that. You know, when you look back at high school, all the things that were all the wrongs that were done to you, 20 years later, do you say, I wish I hadn't have done that? Or, you know, maybe you do. But if you kill someone out of greed, out of selfishness, out of being jealous, should you get empathy? Do you deserve empathy from people? Not sympathy, but empathy. Because all of a sudden that person is supposedly feeling bad. Should serial killers get empathy for all the people that they've killed? All of a sudden they got caught. They're either getting life or they get death. And depending upon the state, that death sentence will be carried out very quickly. Now, you in California, you get a death sentence, you're going to live until you die of natural causes. So, but, you know, while I was watching these videos, you know, I was shaking my head because, you know, especially when children are involved, you're going to kill your babysitting, and you're killing your girlfriend's baby because they won't stop crying. That's what children do. They cry. Babies cry. And all of a sudden, and Brina says baby killers have a special place in hell. All of a sudden you get life. All of a sudden you're found guilty. All of a sudden it's like, what? And let's take it just from killers. Do rapists deserve the empathy? You know, if you, they didn't die, but you're still going to prison. I mean, when a family member stands up in court and reads a victim impact statement, I know we've talked about this before. Should those matter? And should the perpetrator be turned into the victim? Should the perpetrator's family say, well, he's only 16. He has his whole life ahead of him. He doesn't deserve life. He can still become a responsible, functioning member of society. Okay. But the person that you killed is dead. I don't care if you kill someone who is 90. And they had terminal cancer or something. They were going to die in 5 months. You still killed that person. You still took their life away from them. You know, and I, you guys are saying, no. It's like murdering someone's spirit, though. Blunt said, or Brina says, exactly. No age doesn't matter. They still need a consequence. I mean, so at what point, you know, and also, do murderers, people who kill people, and again, I have that caveat for domestic violence because depending upon, I guess I shouldn't even say depending upon the level of it, because domestic violence is domestic violence. You shouldn't be doing it anyway, whether you're doing it to your spouse or whether you're doing it to your children, your parents, whatever, you should not be doing that. Does it matter the severity, or I'm sorry, the severity of the crime? Does it matter that you bludgeon someone to death as opposed to just, shooting them one bullet and they're dead? Does it matter if they bled out alone in the woods for 12 hours? Again, as opposed to just dying immediately. I mean, for me, dead is dead. Hey, April Diamond, Angel Bear. I just don't understand how some people want to say that their loved ones, meaning the perpetrator's loved ones, should not be held accountable for the sentence that they received. You know, and if it is an accidental death, what do you do? Hey, GP, welcome. If it's an accidental death, what do you do? I mean, that person is still gone. Hey, shy lady, the person is still gone. So whether it was an accident or not, should you still get life? Should you still get the death penalty? If you're planning on killing someone, should you really think about, if you're planning it, should you really think about the state that you're doing it in? Should our laws here in America be like, you know, some of these laws in other places where it's an eye for an eye. If you steal something, they cut off your hand. If you murder someone, you get death. If you rape someone, they cut off your organ. Should it be like that? And what can we do as a society to deter? What can we do as a society to deter murder? Why does our country have one of the highest, if not the highest, murder rate in the world? But you go to some of these other places and there's hardly any murders. Why is that? Is it the laws? Is it the fact that they know that, okay, even if I do kill this person and I get life, I'm still going to live? Some people get life with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So, well, I'm 16. I may be out by the time I'm 40, 45, maybe. I'll still have some life left, maybe. And Brina says, maybe they had consequences in the home. Maybe people that commit horrific crimes never had consequences at home. So, okay, so Brina, let's look at the Menendez brothers. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that case back in the 80s. They came from a privileged family. And they murdered their parents. Now, one place that they really made an error was, you know, less than a month later, they're out spending money and buying cars and having parties and what have you, you know, a little suspect there, you know. But were there no consequences in the home? But according to them, their father wouldn't let them do anything. They could never do anything. Their father was very strict. Okay, and Brina says, what I remember, they were super spoiled. You know, actually, Brina, I'm going to have to, I'm looking that up right now. You know, but whether you're spoiled or strict, the fact that you come, you know, the fact that these boys were at an age where it's not like, you know, they also said that their father abused them and things like that. But, you know, you're at an age where you're not 10 and 11 killing your parents. You're adults. You're pretty much where, you know, you can just, like, leave. Right? I don't know. I just ask, do these people deserve the empathy? Do, you know, should these people have a conjugal visit? I mean, you have women. I don't know what it is with women who want to, you know, date men like this, and they marry them while they're in prison, knowing that they're never going to get out of jail, but they, you know, constantly go to see their husbands, and in some cases, their wives. Should these people even allow to have those type of visits? Should a murderer who does a horrific crime, and you know you are guilty, not someone, and unfortunately, there are people who are in prison who should not be, but that's another topic that I plan to cover. But should a murderer, should someone who has killed someone else, should you even, I mean, should you be put in a place in the prison where, you know, you don't get out for however many hours and you're able to go into the main room and congregate with everybody else? Are you just in prison? You are locked behind this jail cell until you die. Hey, Father Brian, welcome. Should it be like that? Do you not, you don't get your conjugal visits. You don't get, you know, your family is sending you candies and cakes and stuff. You don't get any of that. You kill someone as opposed to you just rob them. You know, so, and GB says laws are the laws. Nope, that's crazy. You know, so, you know, it, you know, as I was watching some of these YouTube, videos last night, I was more kind of shaking my head at the family members of the perpetrators. Because when the sentences were read for some of these people, I mean, the family members were like, they were falling out more so and more upset than the person who was going to prison. You know, your loved one is not the victim here. The victim is the person that's 6 feet under. I mean, I saw stuff that the daughter who was 16 had planned on running away with her boyfriend. The father was trying to, single father, trying to break them up. And they had planned to run away together. And the father knew it. So they said, let's kill him. Not only did they stab this man over 79 times, they tried to burn his house down. They stole his car, stole some money from him, and they caught up with him a couple of days later in Salt Lake City, and they're both enjoying life. And the daughter had the nerve to cry and break down and say, I didn't mean to do it. 79 times? At what point did you not mean to do it? On number 42? Number 67? You know, so I mean, it's you know, I just don't. I don't know. Okay, and then GB says, let's not forget the Eighth Amendment. Okay, and the Eighth Amendment, is that the one, Eighth Amendment, is that cruel and unusual punishment? Hold on, let me look that up real quick. Yes, Eighth Amendment protects against imposing excessive bail, excessive fines, or cruel and unusual punishment. But wasn't it cruel and unusual punishment for what you did to me? Or to my loved one? Isn't it cruel and unusual when people maliciously kill people? Maliciously? I don't like the way you look. I don't like, you know, you're not the right skin color. Oh my gosh, you're dating my daughter. How could you? Or your mother or father or this. Hey, crazy lady. I mean, you know, just the reasons that people kill. And I'm supposed to worry about the Eighth Amendment and cruel and unusual punishment? I don't believe that. I mean, I do believe in the Eighth Amendment, but not when it comes to someone who is guilty. They're definitely 100% guilty, and they did something so malicious. Does cruel and unusual punishment go towards people who kill babies? That was cruel. Should we be concerned that some people say that lethal injections are cruel? Okay, but you just bludgeon this person over here 20 times. And I'm supposed to be concerned on whether or not you suffer when you die, when you are sentenced, and when that sentence is carried out, I'm supposed to be concerned, you know, that you know that you suffered. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, and this is something else to consider. You were just killed by lethal injection, electric chair, maybe even in some cases, depending upon where you are. Hey, Power Girl, depending upon where you are. A shooting squad or whatever, whatever they call it, you know, firing squad. So you have died. you have died. You have been killed, you know, in this particular way. And you have a funeral. And I'm not being funny. I'm being totally serious here. You have a funeral for that murderer. Do you expect people to come? Do you expect other people to come and grieve for your family member? I mean, do you? I mean, if you knew someone, if your friend's husband, son, daughter, mother, father, whatever, murdered someone and they were killed by the state, would you, and they asked you to come to their funeral, would you go? Bring says, I wouldn't, that's tough. And Minnesota says, wow, what a question. I mean, I'm just asking. And if they decline, do you feel they're not supporting you? And GB says, we disown bad people, family or not. I mean, these people who protest in front of prisons and what have you on the days that someone is about to be killed, you know, by the state, by however way they are, and they're saying it's cruel, we shouldn't do this. But those same people, I never hear them having concern and empathy for the victim or the victim's family. You know, you hear, especially if the person who committed the crime is older, and it may have taken them years to catch up with them. It's like, but that's my grandfather. He's too old to go to prison. She has cancer. He has to do, hey, crazy. You know, he has cancer. He has to, you know, he won't survive. You can't send him to prison. You can't send her to prison. Why? Then they'll die in prison. But what about the person that your loved one killed? Where's the empathy? Where is the empathy for them? So, you know, that's, you know, I you know, and I may sound harsh, but we're not talking about somebody who robbed a bank. We're not talking about somebody who, you know, stole a pack of gum. We're talking about murder. When you kill someone, that person does not come back. That person's gone. You know, and again, when I was watching those videos last night, I mean, literally, I mean, I was sitting here just watching, just watching them. And I watched a lot of them. And only about two people gave the families the finger or glared, whatever. But I was watching videos of police officers, of just some of everybody. And they were all, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. No, no. But leading up to them being in court, and they show videos of things that they were saying while they were in jail, like F them and I don't care, whatever. Yeah, it could have been, you know, trying to put on a brave face. And some of the people that were murdered over stupid stuff. And when I say stupid stuff, I'm like, you're accosting me and you're holding me up, you know, and you want all my money and I tell you I don't have any, and you go through my pockets, you know, or my purse or whatever, and you see I don't have any money. I am as broke as I don't know what. So you're pissed off that I don't have any money. So bang, bang, bang. So instead of just, you know, possibly getting in trouble for robbing me, but you probably would have killed me anyway. Now you're in prison for the rest of your life. And you got nothing. Brina says, I felt nothing for the Golden State Killer when he got caught. He's old as hell, but I'm glad they got him. Yep. Yep. You know, so, I mean, you look at these people. And, hey, Sabrina, she says over on YouTube, the problem often becomes who decide who gets the death penalty or not, who decides if one is guilty or not, self-defense or not. The government is run by human beings and all human beings have bias. Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's hold on. Let me see if I can. You know, so what do you guys think of that? You know, who decides to get the guilt? Who decides to get the death penalty or not? Who decides if one is guilty or not? But so, Sabrina, are you saying that we should not have 12 people on a panel who decide that you're guilty or not? And if one person says no, then That person doesn't go to jail. That person doesn't die. I mean, what do you think? Well, you guys are really quiet today. I don't know. I you know, there are some people that are guilty. There are some people that hands down you are guilty. You are guilty. So whether or not it's the government or, you know, who decides, some people are guilty. And Sabrina Marie says, I think most people agree eye for an eye, but then there isn't a fair judgment system for it. Okay, so what should be a fair judgment system? Okay, and again, for people over on Podbean, I'll read what Sabrina said again. I think most people agree eye for an eye, but then there isn't a fair judgment system for it. Okay, so an eye for an eye. So isn't it fair that if you kill someone and you definitely killed that person, then you die? If you steal something, your hand gets cut off. But does it matter if that person was stealing because they were trying to feed their family? Does that mean something different? If you rape someone, you lose that organ? I mean, and, you know, GP, every state has its own limits on punishments. But should every state have the same? Every state is the same? Because like I said, in California, you're on death row until you die of natural causes. You go to places like Texas, they pretty much going to kill you within 2 years if you're on death row. You know, should every state be the same? And again, I do know that there are people who are in prison for crimes that they did not commit. So when those people are suing the state and the county and whoever else for millions of dollars, should those people get it? I say yes. Because you did take away a part of my life that I cannot get back. In a way, you did kill me by putting me in prison and I was innocent. You know, but you have people who have just done some really horrific, horrific things. Look at Charles Manson. The man died in prison after the murders that he committed. He died in prison. You know, all these other, you know, and some of the women who were part of that. Two of them are serving time in a prison close to me. One of them, you know, was going to get out due to humanitarian reasons because she had cancer. And the governor said no. He said no to her before, said no to her again, and she died in prison, as she should have. Should people who have been in prison, who have life sentences, be be able to get out for humanitarian reasons after serving 30, 40 years. Let's see. And I was about to say Brina, but Sabrina Marie says, I do think it's ridiculous that convicted and absolutely guilty people get health care, food, shelter. I don't think people who, I'm sorry, but I think that if you're absolutely guilty and you kill someone, you don't get health care. If you get food, it should be some of the worst. Or if your family's not sending it to you, you don't get, I mean, no. And the problem I have with that is the fact that why should our tax dollars, because that's what it is, feed you, support you, keep you alive for the next 60 years that you're alive, depending upon how old you were when you went to prison. And Crazy says, so what you did, you did. And then GP brings up a good point. He says, people that falsely accuse others should receive punishments. I agree. Not just on, I mean, just period. I agree with that 100%. If you falsely accuse someone, you should receive a punishment. And GP, I'm sorry, I believe that punishment should be prison time. Because people who falsely accuse people who have been sent to prison, they should get a taste of what they did. And Crazy says, I suppose it depends on the crime. I can't imagine getting a life for something that wasn't violent. But again, that's where I guess where what Sabrina Marie says, who decides, you know, gets the death penalty, or who decides one is guilty or not. I mean, I guess that's where it comes in. So, and then brings in, yeah, that kills me too. So, hey, Crazy.
Howdy. I don't have too much time, but I did have one situation that I remember just because I was in the court at the same time. And the guy, you know, California had that three strike rule, right? It didn't matter what you did. If it was a felony, three strikes, you're out. What was it? 25 to life. Boom. That was your sentence. And there was a guy in front of me and scared the living shit out of me too. Cause I was like, oh my God, you know, she's going to really stick it to me. But I mean, that was the law. And the messed up part about it was a felony because of the amount of stuff that he had in his trunk. But it wasn't like drugs or anything, but it was like, well, I mean, it was stolen merchandise he got from somebody else. He didn't steal it, you know, but he was selling it out of the trunk. But the amount of it put him on that third strike, and she sentenced him right there in front. Now, that in that case, she sentenced him to 25 to life. I mean, I feel like if he got cancer and was going to die in 15 years in, let him out. I mean, he didn't do anything to anybody other than get the third strike, and that's why he was there 25 to life. That I might be like, all right, you know, because all of his priors were all felonies, but they were nonviolent felonies. It was actually kind of hard to watch that a little bit.
Okay, so if I'm correct, wasn't the three strike laws supposed to be a deterrent?
Yeah, from making people stop doing shit they're doing, stuff they're doing. Yeah, absolutely. So, but then she followed through with it.
So let me ask you: do you think that the three strike rule helped deter crime?
No, I think it put people in jail that probably could have been somewhere else. Because like I said, I'm not condoning what he did. That's why I want to put out there that he didn't steal it. He bought it from somebody else that stole it. He didn't, okay, he probably knew it was stolen. But my point is that if I was going to let somebody out on good Samaritan or whatever you said, good, mm-hmm. a humanity thing, if mm-hmm. the man was going to die within a couple weeks, I'd probably let that dude out. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Like, even though he was supposed to serve 25 to life, his past, you know, drugs, whatever, he had nonviolent crimes. So there are people that are locked up because of that. And you know what? They did the crime. And if they do it, they do it. But if you're going to hand out a humanitarian desentencing, it should be to somebody like that. It shouldn't be to somebody that was there for life because they murdered somebody, because they hurt somebody, because they did something violent that could be a threat to humanity, right? So that's what all I'm saying about that, because that particular me seeing that, I was in my 20s when this happened, and I was the next one up for sentencing, and that dude got 25 to life for that, and I was like, wow. And she was like, and he read this note, man, when I tell you the whole courtroom was in tears. He read this whole letter. She was like, it doesn't matter. The law is the law. I have to give you this sentence. Doesn't matter how I feel about it.
Okay, so what about what GP says? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Absolutely. And I 100% agree with that. What I'm saying is if you're going to pick somebody to give something to clear up a space in prison, pick somebody like that. Pick somebody like that. Because that's going to be the person that's going to die. That's pretty sad, but
okay, but you also said it was nonviolent. So should he have gotten 25 to life? I mean,
but the law was the law.
Okay, but people say the law is the law, but aren't some laws wrong?
Of course, they're wrong. There's a lot of laws that are wrong. There's a lot of really disgusting laws, actually.
Uh-oh, GP, you've been selling fake Packers jersey. Crazy. Get
oh, God. No. I knew that's where them ones that look so damn terrible came from.
Oh, boy. I said that again.
I mean, it just crossed my brain when you said there was somebody that asked to be let out because she has cancer. Well, what did you do to somebody else? If you put harm to somebody else, why is your life more valuable than theirs? Not to me, but if like, it's like I said, stolen property because it was a felony because of the amount, right? Because of the sheer amount of stuff that he had, that's why it was a felony. What if she was like, if you had been under this certain amount, it was a misdemeanor, it would be different. But because it's a felony, this is what I have to give you. And a judge, okay, if
so,
the judge
so, is right. So crazy. Okay. So let me ask this. You strangle a 1-year-old child. You strangle a 40-year-old man. Is it the same sentence? Does it matter?
Absolutely. You're still killing somebody.
Okay, but don't you think that the person who killed the child would probably get a longer sentence because it was a child?
That's emotional, though. That's not law. That's emotional.
But that is possible.
Of course. Okay. Because when you go, look, you're good. The entire law system, right, is completely human. There is no AIs to date that I know of that make these decisions based on fact or no fact, or whether, because they tell you that you're supposed to be innocent until you're proven guilty. We already know that's bullshit. That's crap in this country a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. And could you feed facts into a system that wasn't human to get the right answer anyways? So, but you're using humans who have emotions, and I don't care what somebody says about it doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. I've seen judges, unfortunately, I've been in front of a lot of judges, a lot of law people, and they all get affected the same human way. So unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, they're going to be like, oh, you did that to a kid, because the kid's defenseless. That's where I think that's where the harsher look at it is, not because it's a 40 versus one. It's that kid was probably more defenseless than that 40-year-old was, but we don't know. That 40-year-old could have been in a wheelchair and completely paralyzed. So what I'm saying is first of all, you're pulling variables out the side of your neck right now, but
I always do.
I mean, that's, you're dealing with emotional people that are making decisions. And people of power, people that are power hungry, people that are just miserable. And that's where you get all these, nobody has the same idea because they're all on different wavelengths.
Okay, emotional. So I have you up here, so I got to get you while I can. So GP says, if you kill a pregnant woman, you get 2 counts of murder. Now, it was not always like that. I can't remember what case it was, you know, whatever, but it wasn't always like that. Was it Scott Peterson?
Anthony? No. What was that? Scott Peterson? Was that
dude? Yeah, Scott Peterson when he with Lacey Peterson.
Yeah, and that was it. Good, because that is another human being. But of course, here we go. How early in the pregnancy is it before it's that's another human being versus no, right? How do you? Oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, but I just got pregnant 2 days ago. Is that still
okay?
Too,
okay, so let's look at life? Let's look at the jury on a case like that. Is it fair to have half of the jury who is pro-life, who believes life begins at conception, and you have the other half who doesn't, who does right. not think that it's a fetus? Is that fair? Should you have half and half?
That is how you die. I can't answer that because there's no fair point in that, because those people are fighting each other, which are now going to have to decide your fate. Right. And you're solely relying on people to be able to separate their emotions from facts.
But I would like to say that I believe that a jury, no matter how much you try, will always have their emotions in it. I mean, unless it's like boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, this is what it is. So that's what I'm saying. So when the prosecutor says, well, not only, and they also gave the baby the name that they were going to, they were using
his name, so they, you know, whatever. Emotions. You know, stop so, it. Right. Right.
So again, is it fair for Scott Peterson to get a fair trial, to have half of the jury is pro, the other half is no, you know, whatever. Is he getting a fair trial?
Is there ever a fair jury? Answer that question.
No.
All right. That's it. That's the answer to all your questions. The reason I say that is because if you've ever watched or been in courts, first of all, when they say strike that from your memory, get out of here. They already heard it.
They already heard that shit. I don't care.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know. Whenever I hear it, like, you know, the jury is to disregard. How are you going to disregard something that you, they're not going to disregard that. So, you know.
Yeah.
And Shy Lady says Lacey Peterson was 8 months pregnant.
So the argument could be said, the difference between is there's no argument with an 8 month old baby. There's none. You know why? Because they can live outside the womb. The minute they can live outside the womb, and I know people are going to be like, but I'm just saying, to me, my thought was, and this is not in every case because every case is a variable case, right? In this mm-hmm. case, my thought process was, when I was looking at it, I was like, that baby could live right now. It could have lived without its mother. That means that should be two. Period. You know, because I don't know, like, that was just what I was thinking about that case. When I think about other cases, if someone said, well, I just got pregnant a week ago, isn't it the same thing? You're still killing two things. You technically are, because you're killing, you're stopping a life from continuing to thrive, right? That's the definition of death.
Let's see. GB says many babies are born super early, before 9 months. Okay, so.
Absolutely. Okay,
so.
Survive outside the mother's womb was my condition, saying that but at the same time, you're still stopping a life from continuing to thrive. Without your intervention, that life would have been fine. So.
Okay. So before you came on, one thing that I said that I did not believe that they should have is, you know, Scott Peterson, I think he got married in prison or something, or he has some woman that's been seeing him for like years, whatever. Should people like that get the conjugal visit? Should they be able to, you know, no.
And he shouldn't have any privileges. He shouldn't have shit. I don't believe in all that extra extra prison amenities. That's why you're there, because you're on punishment, not for you to have a resort. I don't believe in that. So, and I've been there. So I'm just saying, they having an amenity, but we're still paying for them. It doesn't matter. We're still paying for them to be there, housed forever, how long. What they lose is their freedom. Not like we have a whole lot out here anyways, but what they lose is their freedom, and that's it. But they shouldn't be given everything else. I don't care. Human is right. We should feed them. Okay. Feed them, healthcare, whatever. They're human. Don't let them die in prison.
I'm sorry. I don't believe that a known murderer should have healthcare.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it should
I mean, because
be part of their sentence?
The person that you killed is not healthy anymore. So True. And it's my tax dollars who's paying for your health care. And people out here who are on the outside can't get health care. And I'm giving you health care.
I can totally agree with that. I can totally agree with, but they can't let them die. That's also, they can't really just let them die. So
okay, I suppose they then, you know, you give them food and some bread and water, and that's it. You know, and GP says my friend's dad got a full master's degree in prison on the house. You know, that's another thing. You know, they're going in and they're getting their master's and doctorates and stuff, and here people out here are spending thousands of dollars
and make them productive citizens.
You want to make productive citizens, and you go learn a trade, and you learn how to
or,
be a plumber or something.
Or if they're going to offer them all this shit being locked up, why don't you offer free programs out here before they get locked up? How about that?
Yep.
Because I'm not against people reforming themselves, all right? I'm telling you this from a reformed, I'm telling you, all right? I'm not against people working to reform themselves in prison or jail or whatever, all right? I had to do that. I did that, and I had to go through a lot of stuff. What I'm against is repeating customers, you know, rotating doors, because they don't learn their lessons and they're living off the system. But also people get institutionalized. I guess my point is if you want to give them all this free stuff after they're locked up, let's take our teenagers and give them all the free stuff. Give them the free schooling, give the free college, give the free stuff now so that they get the educations and the socialization. It's not just education that keeps people out of prison. Socialization, people, stuff like that, and don't stress everybody out before they're 20 years old, and so that they're not out here doing these kind of things, because everybody's depressed and stressed out and can't figure out how to live. This is where all this crap comes from anyways.
Okay. All right. Well, crazy, you took me up to my hour.
I was figuring you were getting close, but it's just that one, seeing that guy and seeing him like he was sobbing, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. My time was, she gave me time served when I went up, but I'll never forget it. And I was like, dang, for selling stuff out of his trunk, 25 to life. I mean, it saved me because I wasn't going to do it again, but it didn't say, you see what I'm saying? Like, he probably wasn't the shit. He wasn't a piece of, you know, he wasn't that, but I already told you, bro, how many times I got to keep telling you, you know what I'm saying?
Well, so Sabrina Marie over on YouTube says they should not be able to buy themselves out of prison either.
That's true. Absolutely. Do you understand the amount of corruption you are looking at? There's very few. There's 10% are good and really want to do the job they're assigned to do, and 90% are doing power-hungry stuff or really bad stuff, and the other 10% can't say anything, because if the good ones really went in and dug out their whole system, there'd be no more good ones because they'd all be fired. So I think a lot of them stay a little more quiet too, so that they hope they can help more people by staying quiet than not.
Okay.
Like judges, not cops. Cops, I think, should write each other out. But, you know, that's just my thought. But
well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. But the judges and all that other stuff, whatever. I hope that the ones that are clean, because I've ran across, let me tell you, some dirty ones and some ones you can tell that are clean. The ones that actually care about people and the ones that are just looking to put your ass in jail. So, like, that's the problem. It is the system, but it's also people running the system. And contradicting laws, and people in prison that probably shouldn't be there, and people not in prison that definitely should be there.
Okay. All right. But Well, hey, Smoke, as always, you always come when I'm about to sign off. So, but welcome anyway. I am taking us out with I needed a song, and Shy Lady gave me my song today. Y'all, if y'all ever want me to play a certain outro song, just please, you know, let me know. Hit me up on Discord or send me a Gmail or whatever. But she helped me out today, so I'm going to leave us with Tyrone Davis, "If I Can Turn Back the Hands of Time." And Crazy, I am going to tell you, like I, because Ace and Shorty were on the panel yesterday on Friendly Differences on Saturday, we are having our end of month fun show. Not sure what the title is going to be, but as you know, anything goes. So that's what we're going to do on Saturday.
Love it. Okay. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming up. All right. Here we go, guys. Tyrone Davis, "If I Can Turn Back the Hands of Time."
So lonely without you, can't sleep at night, always thinking about you. But if I had the chance to start all over, I would be wishing today on a four-leaf clover, and leaving would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hands of time, longer, but the pain is getting deep, the hurt keep getting stronger. But if I had just one more try, I would be yours alone until the day I die, and we would have a love so divine. If I could turn back the hands of time, just realize without it I can't go on. 'Cause for you're the other half that makes my life complete. If I had one more chance, we'd have a love so sweet, and leaving would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hand of time,
everyone, that's it. I will be here tomorrow. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for liking the show. And Crazy, thanks for popping up on the panel with me. Until then, enjoy your day or evening wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.